I'm Barrett with BarrettIndependent.com. We are going to do the brief this morning. If you're new here, subscribe, ring the little bell icon. If you're not new here, you know what to do, share the show. Good morning, Dr. Trevor Wilkins, ABT, the Angry Viking Therapist, and to everybody else in the chat, Behringer 1. Appreciate y'all. Hot off the press from RT, Russian propaganda, but who knows? It could affect the direction of the global NATO war in Ukraine. Video of alleged execution of Russian POWs in Ukraine are authentic, according to the New York Times. The clip suggests captive Russian troops were, quote, killed at close range, end quote, the U.S. paper says. New York Times says it has verified the authenticity of videos that surfaced online last week, allegedly showing the execution of captive Russian soldiers by Ukrainian troops. The men, quote, appear to have been shot dead at close range, end quote, according to the newspapers. The events shown in the clips occurred in the village of Makayevka in the People's Republic of Luhansk, mid-November, the newspaper reported on Sunday. That'd be yesterday. Quote, the videos, whose authenticity has been verified by the New York Times, offers a rare look into one gruesome moment among many in the war, but do not show how or why the Russian soldiers were killed, end quote, the New York Times wrote, adding that what actually happened to the soldiers remains, quote, a mystery. However, the outlet noted that judging by the footage, quote, at least 11 Russians appear to have been shot dead at close range after one of their fellow fighters suddenly opened fire on Ukrainian soldiers standing by, end quote. Good morning, Joel Nichols. The New York Times also cited Dr. Rahoni Har, medical advisor at Physicians for Human Rights, who said that, quote, killing or wounding a combatant who, having laid down his arms or having no longer means of defense, has surrendered at discretion is a violation of the laws of international armed conflict, the Geneva Conventions. Technically, at that point, they're not combatants. They've been disarmed. You're not supposed to kill them. Technically. There's rules for that, and there's ways around the rules for that. Actions on the objective, planned and rehearsed, moving through the objective, clearing to your limit of advance, etc. But if they're disarmed, laying on the ground face down, no, you don't get to just shoot them in the head, which is what, according to the New York Times, apparently happened. Now remember, this is the New York Times reporting being picked up by RT, which is legitimately state-run Russian propaganda. That being said, there seems to be the sentiment in the United States of America these days where the Russians are the good guys and the Ukrainians are the bad guys. I'm more along the lines of they're both bad guys. Good morning, Kentucky Sustainable Living. Hey, I'm pretty sure I saw a video of you shouting out Grindstone Ministries the other day, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you, brother. Johnny is correct. Isn't the New York Times a known liar? Yep. Which begs the question, why? Why this piece of propaganda? Morning Iridium Group. Because this creates an international incident, right? An atrocity that something must be done. We'll send more money, probably more troops. NATO could potentially become actually embroiled in a hot war against, what's up, Romans 12:18, shalom, brother, against the evil Russians on the side of the evil Ukrainians in Eastern Europe. The article concludes with, in one of the videos which appeared on social media, the Russian servicemen were shown surrendering to Kiev troops and lying down on the ground before a second clip showed their bodies lying motionless in pools of blood. Another video with no sound, which is also believed to have been made at the scene, purportedly showed a Russian soldier emerging from a building and shooting at the Ukrainians. Russia has described the clips as proof of, quote, deliberate and methodical murder, end quote, of its soldiers by Ukraine. The UN, United Nations, has urged an investigation into the videos, with Kiev promising to carry out a probe. Let's get the UN involved now. Isn't Russia on the Security Council of the UN? So, big picture, little picture. Big picture, further potential escalation in the war in Ukraine. Likely to happen anytime soon? Maybe, because much like logging in the Northeast, once the ground freezes, we can get a lot of work done. But when the spring thaw comes, it gets ugly. So it's possible. There's been a lot of postulation about the windows of opportunity presented by, as the Russians call it, good morning, Tommy Salter. Shalom, brother. Hey, got your envelope in the mail. Appreciate you. Presented by what the Russians call General Winter. Yes, and General Winter is on the side of the Russians. So we shall see. However, once General Spring rolls around, it's going to be General Mud. And that's going to be a big problem. So a lot of analysts are talking about how we're likely to see an escalation in the war in Ukraine in the coming days, weeks, months ahead, because it will get easier for the Russians to maneuver cross-country. Now, this says nothing about the Russians' current capability to actually prosecute a war. Lots of people have been talking about, well, you know, they sent their conscripts in first, and they just conscripted another 300,000 individuals, even as military-aged males are fleeing the AO at astonishing rates. Somewhere between 1 and 2 million Russian military-aged males have fled from Russia to avoid military service, is at least some of the reporting. And we all know the abysmal state of the PMCS of their vehicles and their equipment. Which begs the question, as I have asked over and over again, if they can't have a 40-mile convoy without running out of food, fuel, and water, what happens if, when Putin smashes the big red button and it potentially doesn't work? Ooh, existential crisis for real this time. So macro, that's the macro picture. The micro picture for y'all, for us, keep doing the things. Keep being prepped. Keep stacking food back. Keep making friends with people that you love. Build strong networks, strong communities. Have a weapon and know how to use it. Have a first aid kit and know how to use it. Be able to sanitize your body and your water. You know where you're going to poo when the poo hits La Ventilator. All the prepper things. Which, by the way, if you're new to this preparedness mindset, please check out the Prepper Classroom playlist here on the YouTubes. It's free. There's 28 or so whiteboard classroom setting videos walking you through the basic 101 level prepping stuff of, all right, I know I need food. What food? How much? Why? Where do I store it? How do I store it? Food, water, commo, security, intel, area studies, convoy ops, networking, convincing your spouse to get on board, how to build a mutual assistance group, etc., etc., etc. All that's in the Prepper Classroom. It's what I consider level 101 material, which is part of why I get a little salty when those questions are continuously asked over and over again here, because I've already answered them ad nauseum. So please check out the Prepper Classroom. Now to the written brief, Bear Independent Brief, 21 November 22. Multiple feet of snow fell rapidly in western New York over the weekend. Three deaths have been attributed to the storm, and there have been some scattered power outages. Authorities have asked people to stay off the roads while public service workers and some members of the National Guard work to clear the roads. National Weather Service meteorologist, I need more Jocko, stand by. Let's try that word again. National Weather Service meteorologist, see, it worked, Frank Pierre-Riabra, said that the accumulation, quote, would be on the order of historic, not only for any time of year, but for any part of the country, end quote. Fortunately, that region of the U.S. is well prepared for heavy snow, though more lake effect snow is expected for the region early this week. It worked, right, Johnny? It worked. So, data from FEMA has revealed that people who are most vulnerable to extreme weather events are also those that have the longest electrical outages and the least amount of monetary help. According to that data, the states that had the most disasters were California, Mississippi, Oklahoma in the top five, baby, Iowa, and Tennessee. Girl, you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see. The states that actually received the most funding per capita, my wife actually lived in Tennessee, so I can say that and not get punched in the mouth when I get home, When I say get home, I'm actually in the underground bunker in the backyard right now. We put a drop ceiling in and some of these fluorescent lights. This door over here leads to the generator room, and then there's a shaft that goes back up out of the ground about 60 feet, but it's a couple hundred yards away from the house, so, so that we can shoot, move, communicate, sustain if the zombies are trying to get into the main blast doors, which are actually thermonuclear rated. We built the bunker based upon the potential yield of the Tsar Bomba. And so we're pretty happy with it. It was only a couple million bucks to put this thing in. But I'm telling you, the geothermals, man, it's a solid 62 degrees down here, 40 feet below the Earth's surface. You got pretty good internet. Yeah, we piped in some high-speed fiber optic in here. And I've also got a 5,000 pair of copper trunk cable that I ran in. We took one of the diesel engines out of a Coast Guard cutter. So there's a 12,000 horse diesel engine back here, hooked up to a 26 megawatt generator. I can run everything. And then I've actually got sheep behind that other door over there. So I ain't worried about food either. Let's see, the states that actually received the most funding per capita though were Louisiana. And dare I say, in my experience doing disaster relief, a lot of Louisiana people, Louisianans, not all, I'm not categorizing everybody, but I'm saying a lot of y'all are professional storm victims. Professional storm victims. It's obnoxious trying to do ministry work in Louisiana. Have people coming and getting six boxes of diapers, don't care what size, because they can get 20 bucks a piece for them. Well, dude, I didn't bring these diapers from Oklahoma for you, you scumbag. Go sell a dime bag of weed or something, whatever you're into. We're here to help people. The states that actually received the most funding per capita, though, were Louisiana, New York, New Jersey, North Dakota, and Vermont. Analysts point to costs of living and resource allocation being at the root of the discrepancy. Texas Southern University professor Robert Bullard noted, quote, "Disaster funding is oftentimes skewed towards communities that are more affluent and have the most resources," end quote. Now I'll tell you what, if you've been paying attention, GrindstoneMinistries.com, which is our disaster relief and construction ministry, which is funded and staffed by y'all, thank you so much. We were just in Idabel, Oklahoma for 15 days. And saw the same process repeated there as the other 35 storms that we've worked in the last 3.5-ish years. Yeah, the affluent areas get the most attention. Where does the City Council of Idabel, Oklahoma live? In Country Club Estates, which was smashed relatively badly. But where did they get the most funding, the most personnel, the most quick cleanup, the quickest? In Country Club Estates. Out in the county, nothing. Nada. The people that had nothing before the storm still got nothing after the storm except a pile of debris. And so that's why I'm super proud of y'all for helping us do what we do at Grindstone Ministries, because we couldn't do it without you. So thank you for empowering us to be the hands and the feet. And of course, Jeremiah Noble, you're alive. Jeremiah volunteered with us on several occasions. He has volunteered. He was driving his personal vehicle back from Idabel, Oklahoma, and wrecked the dang thing somewhere in Arkansas. And luckily he survived. Fire and EMS was involved, and Grindstone rented him a vehicle so that he could get home, got him a hotel room so that he could, you know, have a place to rest his weary head, and hopefully his insurance company is going to replace his truck that was totaled, as I understand it. So hey, everybody, give Jeremiah a clap hand. And also be praying over him that he has zero more wrecks and that his truck is replaced. Okay. See, and that's what Grindstone is all about, man. People taking time out of their personal lives to go and do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, because the government sucks shit at doing their job. Yes, he is physically okay, Mr. No. He is physically okay. Praise the Father. But that's how Grindstone works, because FEMA, not so great at their job. According to the National Institute of Building Sciences, for every dollar put towards preventative measures like controlled burns or levee building, $6 are saved on average. The actual numbers vary based on location and disaster type. Unfortunately, there seem to be far fewer preventative efforts than relief-based efforts across the nation. Moreover, the yearly cost of natural disasters has been skyrocketing in the last few years. And that impacts all Americans, because your taxpayer dollars are being grifted erroneously, disgustingly, right off the top. Right off the top. Oh, and we released $100 million for this storm. You're lucky if $10 million of it made it to the disaster contractors. Ask me how I know. Moreover, the yearly cost of natural disasters has been skyrocketing the last few years, and that impacts all Americans. The National Centers for Environmental Information reported that weather and climate events between 2011 and 2021 cost more than a trillion doll hairs. 1 trillion doll hairs. Almost like the DOD's black budget. Did I say that out loud? 91 billion of which was federal. So, 9% of that trillion-dollar cost was federal taxpayer dollars. The number, and you didn't hear it from me, all right? It's just me and 1,250 of my nearest friends. It's just us girls sitting around the campfire talking. A lot of major insurance companies are going bankrupt right now. Hurricane Ian. Hurricane Ian in Florida that hit a couple months ago, and we've still got crews in Florida working on that Gold Star Mother's house. So again, thank you for pouring in the grindstone. Couldn't do it without you. If you want to help us pay for the rebuilding of a mother's house who lost her son in Afghanistan, grindstoneministries.com. Okay? But 9% federal cost. Hurricane Ian, several major insurance companies are going bankrupt from having to pay out. Good morning, Cotton Flanagan. Cotton was on deployment in Idaho. They're going bankrupt from having to pay out on the claims in Florida, coupled with the downturn in the economy, coupled with the fact that FEMA's broke, and they know it, and they're telling everybody. Insurance companies, major insurance providers, going bankrupt. In fact, for one of our businesses, Refuge Training, we were trying to switch insurance companies, get a different policy, because we're doing some crazy stuff with RT. Like, Responder 4 is going to be insane. We're prototyping that a few weeks from now, and it's going to be insane. You know, you can't get another insurance policy right now. Insurance companies, which their whole job is to sign people up for policies, aren't signing people up for policies. Sanctified Survival, good morning. They're not signing people up for insurance policies. That's an indicator. Yeah, so just throwing that out there for y'all. Let's see. So $1 trillion between 2011 and 2021, $91 billion of which was federal. The federal numbers for 2020 and 2021 are more than $100 billion federal dollars and $150 billion respectively. A climate adaptation group called Rebuild by Design. Interesting. It sounds like that's just a nice take on the Great Reset. Rebuild by Design has reported that 90% of all U.S. counties have had a weather disaster severe enough to garner federal assistance from 2011 to 2021. Unfortunately, federal disaster relief is inefficient and underfunded, which is why we do the things that we do, because you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On this hangs all the Torah and the prophets. So, disaster relief costs are rising. Federal help is inefficient and insufficient in order to be able to address these things. We've talked about this over and over again, the entire concept of they're coming to save you. They're not coming to save you. Oh, they're going to martial law. They're coming to enslave you. They're not coming to enslave you either. They can't. They don't know how to. They don't, believe me, they don't know how to. I have watched more federal and state and local agencies grab ass and trying to figure out the logistics of putting a team into a neighborhood to go do search and rescue more times than I can count, to think that they're going to come and enslave you. Only if you let them, bro. Only if you happily traipse onto the school buses headed towards the compound that they're going to enslave you in. right? Now, don't get in the bread lines. That goes back to basic preparedness. Like, don't get in the bread lines. They're not coming to enslave you. They're not coming to save you. They're not coming. You are not in their continuity of government plan. You're not in their continuity of anything but taxation plan, which is why it's in their best interest to perpetuate the system as we currently understand it, because they need your taxpayer dollars to send them to Ukraine and prosecute a war in Eastern Europe, you know, against the Russians, and, you know, enlarge their portfolios and, you know, have global climate summits for the United Nations in Bali. By the way, did you hear that 194 out of 195 nations in the world, according to the UN, most recent UN summit, 194 out of 195 of these nations are not hitting their climate change emissions goals. And per the Director General of the United Nations, it is impossible with current technology, impossible. It is not possible with current technology in order to meet their climate change aspirations. Oh, so let's just continue doing that anyway, right? Let's just do that and it'll be fine. Yeah, electric vehicles for everybody, wind and solar and hydroelectric for everybody, even though only 7% of the Earth's surface is actually gonna work for wind and solar, but we'll just do it for everybody, it'll be fine. Yeah. So also important for you to understand, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure when it comes to disaster preparedness, in general. You know, be ready, have a plan. Know what you're going to do in the event of emergencies. Drill those things. Have places that you can go, people that you love, mutual assistance groups. And statistically, natural disasters are going to hit you. Nine out of 10 counties in the United States of America in the last decade have had some type of weather-related disaster that garnered federal response. So you got a 9 in 10 chance in the next decade that something's going to go sideways for you where you are. The reason I bring this up is, you know, most people, when they get into prepping, fall into the trap of prepping for the zombies. It's like, yeah, but how about prepping for the storm, the hurricane, the tornado, the earthquake, the fire, the snowstorm, right? Things that are actually applicable to your life. Things that actually matter. How about a job loss or an injury or a reduction in pay, right? I know a lot of people who were in between jobs and didn't have to worry about buying groceries because they had years of food put up, okay? How about we prep for the things that matter the most? FEMA is horrendous at their job. That doesn't mean that there aren't good boys and girls inside of that organization that are really trying to help people. But as an actual agency, they're terrible at their job. And what FEMA does is administrate the disbursement of federal funds to disaster contractors. And there is so much grift in that system. I have personally seen, if you wanted to be able to dump at a dump in a disaster zone, it required $10,000 per day, cash to the FEMA inspector. Yeah. Yep, gotta pay him off in order to be able to dump here. Wait a minute, bro. 10 grand a day? And that's for our organization. How many other businesses, companies, and organizations are out here hauling? That guy's pulling $250,000 a day cash as the FEMA inspector? Yeah. Yeah, so waiting for the government to come bail your ass out is not gonna pan out. That's why we be the light. GrindstoneMinistries.com. Now that's the written brief for today. I appreciate y'all. If you're on Patreon, you have the brief and the links. If you're not on Patreon, you don't. It's an entire five doll hairs per month. It's 15 cents a day, man. $5. That's that's a latte. Right? That's not even a can of Skull anymore. Like, hell, that's 1 gallon of gasoline in Biden's America. $5 a month. This morning on Patreon was episode 5 of the Clinic series, talking about triage and CASEVAC, Medevac, ongoing series there. Next week is going to be SHTF pharmacology. And in fact, hey, let's go for a really quick walk. Look at the ceiling, because there's things on the whiteboard I don't want you to see down here in the bunker. Somebody said, are your drums in the bunker? Nope. Drums are definitely not in the bunker at all. Don't have any drums in the bunker at all. SHTF pharmacology. Look at this whiteboard, bros. You think I put a little bit of effort into this? You think this is worth 15 cents? SHTF Pharmacology. So that is the type of content that you can and should expect on Patreon, because, you know, a workman is worth their hire. So check that out. There's a link in the description of every YouTube video and live stream. I appreciate y'all. You are the economic engine of the Bear Nation. Couldn't do this without you. Wouldn't do it. RefugeMedical.com, truth in advertising. I am the founder and CEO of RefugeMedical.com. We make our stuff in America. I love you back, Amanda Morris. That's my little sister. She's pretty cool. She's extra cool. Let's see, RefugeMedical.com. We make our stuff in America. We guarantee it forever. 56 lives have been saved that we know of to date in the last three-ish years with refuge kits, the most recent of which was somebody who attempted to mechanically amputate their arm in the bicep region right here, had a machine come down, almost took their arm off, didn't. Guy saw this happen, had a tourniquet in a refuge medical kit, applied the tourniquet, removed the impinged limb, got the guy about 280 feet from where he was out to the roadway to meet EMS, which only took them 15 minutes to get there. So if you know anything about uncontrolled critical bleeds, you got on a femoral artery about 90 seconds. On the, you got a whole bunch of arteries in here. Let's say the brachial artery, 120 seconds before you pass out and then you die. So we're counting it as a life saved because knowing the fact that a tourniquet was used, there was arterial bleeding and it was a 15 minute response time by EMS, that person would have died had they not been medically intervened with a tourniquet. So 56 lives saved to date at refugemedical.com. There's a whole metric butt ton of stuff in stock. All of our first aid kits, the Bear FAC, the Bear Minimum is currently out of stock, the SOB, Small of the Back kit, the ARC Advanced Ripaway kit, the Adventure kit, your OSHA compliance kits. If you work for a company where you're required to have OSHA kits, most OSHA kits suck shit, which is why. Good morning, Mark O'Connor. Cot Lumber. If you gotta buy some 2x4s, buy them from our friends at Cot Lumber. OSHA compliance kits, right? If you're cutting 2x4s, you need an OSHA compliance kit. Most of which are terrible. That's why Refuge made one that's actually good, made in the United States of America, guaranteed forever, exceeds OSHA Class A and Class B specifications. So check all that out. It's at refugemedical.com, and your promo code for free shipping, which is, it's not a big deal in today's day and age. You know, that big brown truck runs on diesel fuel or propane, and it costs a bunch of money to do that. So you can use promo code BEARNATION, B-E-A-R, not B-A-R-E, that'd be weird, B-E-A-R, nation, for free shipping. And of course, HSA and FSA eligible, all of our kits and our components. And today only, come on down. I feel like Sunday, Gravedigger. Remember those commercials back in the 80s growing up? The respiratory set is 20% off today. It's $29. And that has a nasopharyngeal airway, a BVM, a bag valve mask, and a pocket CPR mask, all 20% off today. It's $29. And so, you know, it's the holiday season. Maybe you should think about, instead of buying some more useless shit that was made in China using Uyghur slave labor. So come on down, JP. That's right. That's exactly right. Bigfoot, Grave Digger. I don't remember all the other trucks' names, but they're going to be there too. It's the holiday season. Instead of buying, you know, another plasma or some stuff that's going to break a month from now, maybe give the gift of life this holiday season. Maybe think about that. Maybe instead of life insurance, you should give life assurance, kits that actually save people's lives. Okay? Okay, good talk. Refuge training, learn the art of how to not die. There's lots of new classes. So if you've been, Bear, when are you going to do a class in East Overshoe, Indiana? Go check the website. Yeah, but when are you coming over here to East Sheboygan? Check the website. Yeah, but are you going to do another class in Waco? Check the website. RefugeTraining.com. Okay. Responder 1, March algorithm, massive bleeding, airway, respiratory, circulation, head injury, hypothermia, how to elevate to a higher level of care, situational awareness, chin lift, jaw thrust method, maintaining a patent airway, all that and more is in that 4-hour class, which is CLEAT and CLEPT certified, national post accredited. If you're a law enforcement officer, EMS or fire, you get training hours for that class. That's our basic entry level class. Then Responder 2, which is all that stuff, plus CPR and AED in a tactical setting, plus intro to scenario based training where you have to use your trainer kit that you get free with the class so that you don't bust up your own good IFAC to work a car crash, right? Because that's 90% of preventable deaths in the United States of America are from uncontrolled bleeding. And statistically, the most dangerous thing you do, thank you, Michael Martinez, as an American, is drive. You should probably know how to work a wreck, right? So you do that in Responder 2 with your kit, with instructors yelling at you, with blood being sprayed in your face, with casualties thrown from the vehicle, with the horn going off and the lights flashing and up. You do that, right? Cindy P said, take the classes, learn how to not die. Great instructors. Thank you, Cindy. And then Responder 3 is force-on-force scenario-based civilian tactical medicine training that is unparalleled on the face of this earth. And I've now had six steely-eyed Green Berets tell me this is the best civilian medical class they've ever seen. All that is at refugetraining.com. You could spend your money on dumb shit this holiday season, or you could give the gift of life. Instead of health insurance or life insurance, how about health assurance or life assurance? That's the brief, my boys and girls. I love every single one of y'all. You're cool cats. Thank you for being a part of the Bear Nation. I couldn't do it without you. Minor indicator, bears in the bunker, 40 feet below the ground, or the nuke's gonna fall. I don't know. I'm actually just down here because there's no roosters in the bunker. Y'all have a blessed day.